Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The late sequence there, punching in the touchdown underneath the 2 minute, going for the touchdown versus the field goal.
It was some debate, but I think out of respect for their field goal block operation, we said, let's make sure we have great ball security, but if we can punch it in, Kyron's on my fantasy team. It's a joke. It's a joke. I don't really mean that. All right, kidding. That's the last one.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. And fellas, it's good to know that Sean McVay is one of us. One of us.
Sean McVay gets it. Sean McVay gets it. And by the way, if he doesn't have Kyron Williams on his fantasy team, he should. Kyron Williams is very good.
He had the best inside info to see this coming.
You would think. You would think. I would hope that Sean McVay would be a good fantasy manager.
In a bit of a moment at the moment, Sean McVay. Team's on a bit of a roll. Looks like they're probably going to make the playoffs, I would expect.
They're in the hunt.
They're rolling at the moment.
They're in the hunt. And they're in the hunt in a way where they're actually in the hunt. Sometimes you see these graphics. I literally saw the commander. There was a graphic on CBS, and it literally said in the hunt, and it had the commander. I'm like,
in the hunt for draft picks.
Yeah. The Commanders are currently fourth. If the NFL draft were held today, the Commanders would be picking fourth.
Yeah. But in the hunt before kickoff.
But they're in the hunt for a playoff spot.
That says more about the NFC.
Come on, stop it. I mean, so there are many teams that are listed on the graphic as in the hunt that are not legitimately in the hunt.
Yes.
They just haven't. Only the Carolina Panthers have been mathematically eliminated at this point of the season. But there are many teams that I can tell you are not going to the playoffs. And my Commanders are one of them.
And good job by the Carolina Panthers getting eliminated in week 13. Well done, Carolina.
There you go. They got rid of Frank Reich.
Yep.
And then the next week, Frank Reich, you see,
I
had you guys in playoff contention. But no, you fire me. And what happens the very next week, you guys eliminated.
They really should have won yesterday.
I was going to say, it was a little scary.
Probably
their
best performance of the year outside of the win over Houston.
Right. Absolutely. So obviously an incredible weekend of football. And let's jump right into it. We're going to get to Weekend Warriors, Sunday Scaries, our best bets for Monday Night Football, and all that fun stuff. But before we do, the Roto-World Player News. For all your Roto-World Player News, go to NBCSports.com. And where else to start than San Francisco? The 49ers traveling to Philadelphia to dismantle the Eagles, quite frankly, behind the arm of Brock Purdy, behind their defense, all of this skill talent. Brock Purdy, 19 of 27, 314 yards. Yes. Four touchdowns, almost 30 fantasy points, Matthew. I mean, this offense was simply rolling in Philadelphia.
They looked awesome. They're the best team in the NFL. They are the best team in the NFL, I think, by a decent margin.
Yep.
We talked about this game coming into this as well, and Sam Howell may be a future Hall of Famer, but Brock Purdy is very legitimately a future MVP, Jay Croucher. You talked about this. You've talked about this throughout the year, but especially ad nauseum. Like, we wish you would talk about anything else. Your daughter's obscure Murphy's basketball, but no. It's all nothing but Brock Purdy for MVP talk, including this. Take a listen here.
Tomorrow morning, my last shot. The two MVP favorites in the NFL are Dak Prescott and King Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy goes into Philadelphia, beats Jalen Hurts. Who would have thought that? 2 months ago. Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott.
So you're going against my grain right here.
I am.
That's
I am.
Okay.
The Eagles can't
keep
getting away from this. They've been admirable, but it runs out today, particularly with clear skies in Philadelphia. Brock Purdy's your
full
MVP
hearts.
Favorite. Yeah, clear eyes, full hearts. Can't get
lose.
Can't get away with this again, Jalen Hurts.
There you go. You called it Jay Croucher.
I did, and woke up this morning to a beautiful sight as I tweeted about Brock Purdy's plus 300, the MVP favorite. Brock Purdy is the last pick in the draft. No one knew who he was this time a little bit over a year ago. Dak Prescott, the joint favorite with him. They move ahead of Jalen Hurts. And the reason why I'm so happy about this, outside of having bet on both of these guys, is that these are the two most deserving candidates at the moment. Right. Every single stat, the way that we evaluate MVPs, yes, record matters, but QBR, passer rating, EPA per play, touchdown to interception ratio, you know, the top two guys are, for all of those stats, Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott. So they should be your MVP favorites. You know, the funny thing is, though, I didn't think Purdy was that good yesterday. I thought he was fine. Like, he was very solid, but it was a lot of yak, a lot of short stuff. He was way better in games like against the Jags, where he's throwing more deep. Against Dallas the first time, he was a lot better in that. But just because of the narrative around this award and going into Philadelphia and beating Jalen Hurts, this is when he becomes the MVP favorite. And look, he was great yesterday, but certainly he has had better games.
But he didn't, didn't turn the ball over, took what the defense gave him. Again, like, if they want to play him deep and give up yards after the catch Debo Samuel, to Christian McCaffrey, to Brandon Ayuk, God bless. Why not? Let them do that. It was a weird game plan for Philadelphia. We've talked about this quite a bit. I'm bringing this to NFL for 1 second, then we'll bring it back to fantasy. But we've talked about how Philadelphia, it's weird to say Philadelphia is a fraudulent team because they're really good.
Yeah.
They're a really, really good NFL team. But they weren't a 10-1 football team.
No.
Right? I mean, again, they got lucky against the Bills. They got lucky against the Chiefs. They got lucky against the Cowboys. Like, Gabe Davis runs the right route. Marquez Valdes-Scantling catches a ball. Dak Prescott doesn't step out of bounds at the 1 yard line, or the Luke Schoonmaker call gets called, in my opinion, correctly, versus down at the 1 inch line. They lose those games, and all of a sudden they've got 4 losses versus 1. And so they've been playing with a little bit of a fire, if you will. And I think the Niners came in there and said, this is what a complete football team looks like. The Eagles have some flaws. They're still a very good football team.
Yeah.
I mean, believe me, I'm a Commanders fan. I would kill for half of what the Eagles have. But there's some flaws there, Jay.
Yeah, no, there are. And look, with Purdy, the sentiment against him winning MVP was that the team is so loaded and they have all these superstars and anyone could do this. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo never did this. He never played at this level. Nick Mullins never did this, never played at this level. And the other thing I want to focus on is there's this idea that the Niners' offensive line is good. It is not good at all. It is Trent Williams and then just pray
it's
for the other four guys.
Yeah.
It is reputation. Brock Purdy is running for his life every play. Compare that to how amazing the Eagles' offensive line is. And look, Purdy, he made the throws he had to make, the breaking route to McCaffrey down the left sideline, the 3rd-and-7 to Ayuk. These are plays that he had to have, and he made them all. And in terms of weapons, the guy who really stood out even more than McCaffrey was Debo Samuel.
Yeah, friend of the podcast.
Dominant. Friend of the podcast, multi-appearances for Debo Samuel. And it was just in every aspect for Debo, whether it was as a receiver, whether it was as a runner. He gets 2 receiving touchdowns. He runs the score in, as we just showed you there. I mean, this was vintage Debo Samuel in a nutshell, Matthews. You could use him in so many different ways that in the quick game, you just get the ball in his hands and let him make a play after the catch.
Well, what's clear is that he's finally fully healthy, right? I mean, you're always starting Ayuk. You're always starting Christian McCaffrey, Kittle as well because of the tight ends. But Debo Samuel very quietly now has scored a rushing touchdown in 3 of his past 4 games, which tells me, like, again, he's fully healthy. They're starting to use the full Debo, as I like to call it. The Kyle Shanahan using the full Debo.
And you always want to go full Debo.
Oh, you always want to go full Debo. Everyone knows that. So, anyway, but, like, I think Debo Samuel, again, continues to be a locked-in starter as well. If you have any one of these 49ers, you're excited about it. And back to Brock Purdy, like, as we enter Monday Night Football, he's the second-best quarterback in fantasy football. All he does is continue to put up points as long as the Niners are healthy. He will continue, despite the fact he doesn't run, he just operates at such a high efficiency, as does this entire offense. He continues to be just kind of a locked-in QB1. Eagles side of the ball here, and this is a narrow offense. Ultimately, Jalen Hurts has a nice game. It wasn't a great game NFL-wise. Fantasy-wise, he gets the rushing touchdown. He gets in there. It's fine. To me, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith do A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith things. That was good. In a game in which they only scored, 19 points?
Yeah, 19.
Like, the fact is that you got production out of both those guys, but that's about it. This is a bad game for DeAndre Swift.
It was a bad game. And look, this Niners run defense, which had been a little bit leaky, they are all the way back. And this defensive line against the run and their linebackers, just the whole operation, you cannot run on San Francisco. My concern for the Eagles is that I thought they played relatively well on offense. Like, they were 8 of 15 on third down. Hurts was efficient enough. The offensive line was incredible. The Niners couldn't get anything. Like, Nick Bosa had no chance against Lane Johnson. And they lost by 23 at home, even given that, because the defense just had no prayer against the Niners' offense.
Yeah, just they don't have, other than Brown and Smith, they really need Goddard back as well. But DeAndre Swift, just 6 for 13. Once again, not involved in the passing game, just 2 receptions for 7 yards. He goes in the medical tent in the late in the fourth quarter as well, so he didn't play the full game. But here's a concern. Since week one, this is his fewest touches and yards in a game. He played 42% of the snaps. That's the lowest in a game since week one. Both Philadelphia losses this season, he's played under 60% of the snaps. So that's a concern. And the Eagles, again, have either been winning big or at least tied, you know, or competitive. When they're getting down, like, they just abandon Swift. Again, there's no passing game usage, which makes him a little bit more fragile than most fantasy superstars. They're on the road at Dallas next week, a game that'll be right here on NBC and Peacock. Just a massive game. I'm a company man. Cannot wait. Very excited. But slight concern for me on DeAndre Swift, guys.
I think it's justified right now.
Yeah, I think so. I also, like, there's a lot of pouring dirt on Philadelphia today, and I get it. They lost by 23 at home to their biggest rival in the NFC, but this team has been screwed by the schedule. They had to play the Bills, where the Bills had a rest advantage. Then they had to play the Niners, where the Niners have a rest advantage. They played over 90 snaps on defense against the Bills, so I think they were just worn out. And by the way, next week, Cowboys have a rest advantage because they played 3 teams in a row that were playing on the Thursday when they played on the Sunday or Monday. So I think that they will be better, and this team is still too talented. And Swift, here's the other thing for Swift. Their last 3 games of the season, Giants, Cardinals, Giants. And so he's probably going to be a monster in those games.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles, well, after the Dallas game,
it's Seattle.
The Seattle, Giants, Arizona, and then Giants, I believe. So, but anyway, so Dallas obviously going to be a very tough matchup, but it gets down the schedule. So if you can get into the playoffs, I think you'll still be fine. But just, I probably, DeAndre Swift, prior to this game, I probably would have said a borderline RB1, and now I think probably more of an RB2, but somebody you're still starting every week. Just a tough day at the office for him and the entire Eagles offense. Honestly, not just the Eagles offense, but just the entire Eagles sideline personnel. Just bad day in Philadelphia.
Bad day. Well, yeah, for the defense in particular, I thought that's the real concern, is they can't cover anyone at the moment.
And we've seen it with the secondary for week after week, and then when you get to San Francisco, it just becomes amplified. Yep.
Quarterbacks against the Eagles are putting up massive fantasy points. Think about what Josh Allen. Obviously, Josh Allen is great, and Purdy is great, and everything, but like, Dak's a top 3 play this week against the Eagles.
Dak's going to be your clear MVP favorite if they win on Sunday night, and then I think it'll deflate because they got to play Buffalo, Miami, Detroit after that, and he'll lose one of those, and then Purdy will rise up, I think. But Dak is in a very good spot to have the spotlight on him.
Let's move over to Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs lose to the surging Green Bay Packers, and that's because Jordan Love has been on fire for a couple weeks now, guys.
Now, hang on for a second. Is it because Jordan Love's been on fire, or did they lose because every single one of us on Football Night in America picked the Chiefs?
You said it.
Like,
not me.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, so memeable.
But for how wrong you were about that,
yes.
Jordan Love's big night, 267 yards, 3 touchdowns. I'm sure a lot of Packer fans were thrilled about that, Matthew.
Huge game.
As you see his last 3 games here, Jordan
They're loving love.
They are loving love. I mean, he's got now 8 touchdowns in his last 3 games with no picks. Cutting down the turnovers is just a massive, massive difference in his game right now. But it wasn't just the Packer fans that were happy. I believe it was somebody on this desk as well that appreciates Jordan Love and Green Bay's efforts as well. Take a listen.
Matthew, you're rolling. You've hit 8 of the last 10 weeks. What do you have for us tonight?
It's been running hot, so hopefully we keep it going. Thank you, Maria. Just quickly before we get there, a reminder about the 3 play. I like the Packers plus 7.5 in an alt line. Jayden Reed over in the receptions. Isaiah Pacheco over in the rushing yard with an alt line at 60. All right, my best bet for tonight, Jordan Love, over 19.5 completions. He's hit this number in 6 straight. And I think as a home underdog, they're going to have to throw. I don't think they'll be able to run successfully. Dylan has struggled this year. Aaron Jones is out. So Jordan Love will be throwing, and I think he throws over 19.5 completions tonight.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations on the bet, Matthew. Also, congratulations on the background music, which sounds like a Tekken Tag Tournament.
Whenever really beefing up the production around you.
Yeah, I was ready to head to the club. Remember my days at Omnia.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was like last year. The parlay hit as well. Obviously, the Packers won, so getting the alt line at plus 7.5 work. Jaden Reed, over 3.5 receptions. He wound up ultimately with 4 in this reception. That one cashes. And then Pacheco, 60-plus rushing yards on an alt line. Pacheco had over 100 yards. We'll talk about that. So the parlay cashes as well. You know, the only bad thing is I usually make those picks for DraftKings because they like to promote them over the course of the weekend. So I usually make them either on Friday or early Saturday morning. By the way, if you ever want, you can just go to the DraftKings app and search Barry's bet, and it will come up what my individual bet is. But anyway, like when I took it, it was like -110. And by the time it airs on Sunday night, it's like -140. So yeah, the juice is moving in the wrong direction. What are you going to do? But the bet still cashed. And I am now, for my Barry's bet, I'm now 9-3 of the year. I've hit 8 of my last 10. I think 7 of my last 8 and 8 of my last 10. I'm 9-3 on the year.
Okay,
for the
so Barry's you're bet. Locked into a winning record.
There you go.
The Detroit Lions.
So people in the industry
exactly
call that a profit.
Yeah.
If they followed you.
If they followed me. If tail away, baby. Come on now.
A beneficiary of Jordan Love's big night, Christian Watson again, 7 catches, 71 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jay, he also gets 2 carries. I mean, Christian Watson, we know how banged up he was to start the year, but last couple weeks is what you drafted him for.
It was, and look, he was a monster against the Lions. It started with the first play of that game. He was the same guy last night. He looks exactly like the guy who closed last year as Aaron Rodgers' main guy and the guy that Rodgers trusted most in the passing offense. Now, hurt his hamstring at the end, so I don't think we have clarity on that, but that is kind of the story with Christian Watson.
It's the story with him, but I mean, his play, Barry, has absolutely aided Jordan Love, who comes into Monday Night Football as QB5 and has been a locked-in QB10 now for a couple weeks.
Over the last 3 weeks, Jordan Love is the 5th-best quarterback in fantasy as well. He's had at least 35 pass attempts in 3 of the past 4. He's had over 20 fantasy points in 3 straight. And oh, by the way, look at the Packers' upcoming schedule. They get the Giants this week. Oof. They're home to Tampa Bay. That's not a secondary that scares you. They're at Carolina, and then they're at Minnesota. That Green Bay-Minnesota game suddenly really interesting in a couple of weeks, assuming both teams continue to remain relevant in the playoff race, and I think both will. So I do think Jordan Love is like a viable starter. I'm in my longtime keeper league with all my college buddies. I have my 3 quarterbacks are, and it's a 2-quarterback league, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and I drafted Jordan Love this year. Yeah. I was able to grab him late in the draft. And you know, when I lost Joe Burrow, I'm like, oh man. Now I'm like, okay, I'm good. I got Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love. I'm good, and I got Will Levis as well in that league, which is much better than what Christian wants. Remember, I was complaining on Sunday and last Friday. I was complaining about how I'm in that league with all my buddies from ESPN, I got a great team in that league. Great team. I mean, like, stupid B. Rubes is in that team, you know, our former producer, Brian Rubin.
He's getting mentioned on the show.
Yeah.
He's had a resurgence.
And he texted me, and he's just like, he's all excited.
He texted me as well. I don't like it when he's giddy. It's
yeah, he's right. Very happy. Yeah. Well, because he's over the NHL, so he's miserable. Like, he misses us. And he desperately misses us.
Sorry,
but anyway, stupid B. Rubes has, like, an annoyingly good team in this league. Anyway, I'm crushing this league. But I played the last place team. I played the last place team in the league. And I need, because of points, I'm going to need to win this league, you know, because... Anyway, because it's only 4 teams make the playoffs. And anyway, the team that I'm playing, this last place team, they have DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
They have Christian Watson. They have, like, all these, like, guys that have had, like, the best game of their life. Meanwhile, my team, Tank Dell, Terry McLaurin on that team. Like, it just – I'm going to – unless Jake Browning and Joe Mixon have the greatest game of their life, because I also lost Burrow in that league. So, you know, I had to – and it's a 2-quarterback Superflex league where there was nobody. So Jake Browning's the best I could do. And I have, like, Diggs on a bye. Like, awful. So stupid Christian Watson. Like, great game for him. But he could have, like, I wish Jordan Love had passed to anyone else. Why am I so smart? Damn it. I knew Jordan Love would crush. I was right. And now I'm just going to miss the playoffs in this dumb league. I'm going to finish 4th, but I'm going to lose out on a tiebreaker.
Must be hard emotionally for you with all the teams that
I'm
you're
in. I'm in 17 leagues.
How do you
leagues?
Feel good or bad about anything?
No, it's
you
awful.
You just have to be ambivalent.
Jay, it is awful. Can I tell you it is awful because I'm in 7 – this is real talk, and then we'll move on to stuff that matters. But in all seriousness,
right. The next game's Miami-Washington.
Because in every single
– yeah,
no,
keep going.
In every single league that I'm in, whatever, I'm Matthew Barry, and I'm putting my name in quotes. But everyone's just like, you're supposed to win. You're, yeah. You know, like the expectation is
you're,
that because
you're the Chiefs.
I mean, that's right. Yeah. I'm in 17 leagues, and despite the fact, like on this team, like I had Puka, I had Tank Dell, I lost Mark Andrews, I lost, I lost Joe Burrow, I lost Tank Dell, and I'm going to finish, you know, fourth, have a very good season, but because of some bad scheduling, like I'm second in points against, and like, you know, I'm not going to make the playoffs, and it sucks.
Yeah,
and I'll go like 15 for 17 in playoff in leagues in terms of making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I feel for you.
Those two legs are like two. Anyway, it drives me crazy. People are always like, oh, you still play? Yes, I play. Like, of course I play.
All right. It's all noted.
It's probably time for an alias. You have 85 nicknames on the show.
What I should do is just quit these leagues. You know.
There you go.
I need to get out of leagues with
that's
Brian
it. When things don't work out for you, take your ball and go home.
Be Rubes.
Yes.
All right. Crazy.
Because
that makes it worse is when you lose. You know.
I know. And I didn't lose Brian can get smug about that kind of stuff, too.
So smug.
To keep your hot weekend going, Miami, Washington. You know, Ron Rivera back calling the defense, Matthew. You love to see it. Especially if you rostered any Miami Dolphins in this game. Tyreek Hill just needed 5 catches.
Is there anything we should talk about on the Chiefs side of the ball or no?
No, it's just the same thing. It's over and over. It's the same thing. It's Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and Pacheco. Right. If he's not going to get suspended.
Not any news.
And Mahomes and no one else.
Especially, by the way, if when Jarrett McKinnon is out, Isaiah Pacheco is an RB1. And with Mahomes, it's like he's like a low-end QB1 at this time.
That's the disappointing aspect of it all.
He's just – like you got to keep rolling him out there. I will say this. Like I think depending on the matchup, like – Patrick Mahomes is no longer like, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not gonna, like, if you had Brock Purdy.
Oh, give me Brock.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if you had Jordan Love, like, there are other, if you had CJ Stroud, like, there are guys you could easily have. It's just that somebody you grabbed late in your draft when you had Mahomes, that now it's a conversation. And before, you never would have thought it's a conversation. I mean, again, low in QB1, but just it's no longer a, I don't care about the matchup or who else I have on my team. I'm starting Mahomes. That's no longer the case.
I mean, he's in the fantasy tier near like what Russell Wilson has been doing the last couple weeks.
He's under 20 fantasy points, and that's a high bar. But still, he's Mahomes. He's under 20 fantasy points in 4 of the past 5 games, right? I mean, over 12% of his throws were off target last night.
He didn't play great last night.
No, he didn't look.
But they can get after him. Anyway, it just right, and you know, he's got guys dropping balls, and Kelce does not look like Travis Kelce again. I feel like Kelce's getting by on like kind of guile and guts. And not, you know, as much skill these days. Does that make sense?
Everyone is focusing on the fact that, well, he was amazing last year. He won the MVP, deservedly so. And all that really changed is Rashee Rice in and Juju out. And Rashee Rice is better than Juju. But everyone has just gotten a little bit worse.
That's
MVS is worse. Kelce's a bit worse. The offensive line is a bit worse. It's all just gotten a little bit worse. And that just added up to now there's just no explosivity in this offense.
Yeah. Anyway, Rashee Rice, it is nice. 30% target share, back-to-back games, 8 receptions in both. He goes 8 for 64. So Rashee Rice continues to be kind of this upside wide receiver 3.
I guess the last point would be Pacheco when McKinnon's not playing.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's,
you get the bump. That's
100%.
That's the one
he's
positive.
He's an RB1 without McKinnon. He's an RB2 with him, but he's still a must start every single week. All right, I think I've delayed talking about the Dolphins Commanders long enough.
We didn't enjoy Ron Rivera's return to calling the defense and all of that magic.
It went exactly how you expected.
You had a great tweet on the Commanders secondary as you see here.
Ron calling the plays, this is me on Twitter, Ron calling plays went exactly how you thought it would. And what I quote tweeted there was a story from Pro Football Talk where Tyreek Hill was quoted after the game saying like, you know, I appreciate the disrespect. I was surprised when they left me in man coverage, you know, but thank you. Like he literally was thanking.
Like they had Darrell Revis out there.
Right.
Or, you know.
I mean, it's the most mind-boggling defensive call of all time. Like, whatever. What do I know about football? But even I know, like, my dumbass is like, you know what? We should probably try to bracket him, try to chip him off the line.
Didn't we do this in week one with Brandon Staley?
I mean, like,
we had this conversation.
Like, he's little, like, his Twitter handle used to be faster than Ya. And you know why? Because he is, in fact, faster than Ya. Whoever Ya is, whoever you are, you know, he's faster than you. Faster than Ya. Like, the fact of the matter is, he's faster than everyone. And so when you are out there in a football game where speed matters, you have to somehow diffuse that speed with using multiple people. But anyway, Ron Rivera coaching the plays went exactly how you thought it would as well. He threw some 29-year-old kid under the bus as well. He was saying that, like, the interim DB's coach was going to help him out with the game planning. And like, stop it. The kid's 29.
Yeah,
like, what
come
are you,
on, Ron.
What, I just the lack of that's what drives me crazy about Ron Rivera, who is, by the way, by all accounts, and I've met him a few times, I've interviewed him, he's a perfectly nice human being. He's like a very good man. Like he's a high character individual. But the one thing that will drive me crazy on a football stance is that Last year, the offense wasn't working, so they throw Scott Turner under the bus, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the defense isn't working. He throws Jack Del Rio under the bus. Like, he draws this 29-year-old kid and it says, oh, this guy's going to help me with a game plan. You're Ron Rivera, man. Like, no. Like I would just be like, it always feels like when he's on the podium and he says, like, yeah, you know, that's on me. Like, it always just feels like I have to say that. It's no, like, yeah. There's no introspection. We're in year four of this.
This is
Ron Rivera's fourth year.
I can't imagine he's there next year.
He's absolutely not going to be there next year.
Quickly, Tyreek Hill, he is still minus 175 for offensive player of the year. He should be minus 600. Like, right. He's on pace for the greatest wide receiver season of all time. I understand McCaffrey's amazing. McCaffrey's having a very good running back season. It's not a historic season. What Tyreek Hill is doing is historic. The second touchdown bomb, that's a bad throw by Tua. He threw it over the wrong shoulder. Tyreek has to adjust in midair and then runs it in. He is playing at a level that I'm not sure a receiver has played at before. The way he bends and breaks the defense is insane.
I did the Sunday Night Football postgame show, and one of the questions that we talked about on the desk with Florio and Devin McCourty and Jason Garrett was, is Tyreek Hill deserving of the MVP? Should he be in the MVP conversation?
He should be in over Tua.
Right. Everyone else agreed. I said no, it's a quarterback award. It's going to be Purdy, Hurts, or Dak is my guess. I said, but he absolutely should be Offensive Player of the Year.
Yes.
That you want to reward this Miami Dolphins offense somehow,
right.
And that's how you're going to do it. Offensive Player of the Year. I agree with you. It should be minus 600. I wish Jalen Waddle got more involved than he did here, but he doesn't need to, again, if teams are going to just leave Tyreek Hill in single coverage. It's unbelievable. I think the big story coming out of this game, other than the fact that, again, my Commanders decided to leave the fastest man alive in single coverage multiple times, is the backfield.
The other
welcome
fastest
back.
Man alive.
Yeah, welcome back, Devon Achane, as well. Now, if you sit there, if you just looked at the box score, 17 rushes for Achane, just 11 for Mostert. Achane ultimately gets 20 touches compared to 12 for Mostert. You're like, oh, is there a changing the guard? I'm not convinced on that. 77% of Devon Achane's snaps came in the second half. 22.3 of his fantasy points came in the second half. Of course, he ultimately scored 25. This game was out of hand quickly. It was, you know, it got late fast, as it were. And so they rested Mostert. They got Achane in. But I think the positives here, other than the fact that the production was awesome and hopefully you engaged in it, right, because there was some risk coming in, was that when the game was out of hand, they still ran Achane out there. It's clear that Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins staff, is not worried about Achane's injury history at all, because they would have, if there was still a little bit of nervous, they would have said, hey, Jeff Wilson Jr., get out there. Game's out of hand.
Yep, agreed. And it's a strange thing with Mostert, because he is RB2 on the season, but I think he needs a very specific type of game to actually succeed now that Achane is back, because they need to be leading, but they need to be leading by not too much.
Right.
Because they lead by too much, then they're going to pull him because of his injury history and because they've got three guys. So it's like you need them to be nursing a 7 to 14 point lead at all times for him to really provide value now.
Just three total receptions over the past six games for Raheem Mostert. He's not really involved in the passing game. So what you're needing volume and hoping gets in the end zone. But again, they score so much. They like him in close. Like, he is scoring touchdowns. He scored yesterday. He scored two against the Jets before. They play the Titans, the Jets, the Cowboys, and the Ravens the next four. I do think, just at least moving forward, and we'll take this week by week, but at the moment, if you have Mostert and Achane, you're starting them. Both guys are top 20 guys the rest of the way, and this one over that one, or that one, I'm not sure it matters just yet.
Over on the Washington side, not a single fantasy point for Terry McLaurin. Three targets, failed to catch any of them. I mean, this is the second fewest targets in a game in his career, Matthew. Just nothing working for Terry McLaurin, and obviously a disappointment.
He's had single-digit fantasy points now in four straight games. It's his first career game. This is unbelievable. I mean, like, you know me. Who loves Sam Howell more than me? No one loves Sam Howell.
Probably
not even Mama. Not even Mama Howell loves Sam Howell as much as me. But even I got to be like, and Howell addressed that after the game. Like, he's just like, you know, to only get three targets to our best player, that's on me. I've got to do better. But still, like, That's a massive failing by Eric Bieniemy, by Sam Howell. Like, Terry McLaurin is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He has been matchup proof throughout his career. Like, he's faced Darius Slay at his height. He's faced some of the best shutdown corners, and they haven't been able to shut him down. And so the fact that there's only three targets, like, get him open, figure out a way to scheme him open. And it's just like, he's one of the most highly paid players in the NFL and on the Commanders. And for you only to get three, I mean, like, it's just, that's on Rivera, that's on Bieniemy, that's on Howell. It's awful. Fantasy-wise, you don't have to worry about Terry McLaurin next week because they're on a bye. And we'll see if they can fix things when they play the Rams in Week 15. But It's just, it's embarrassing.
They got 11 first downs the whole game. They just weren't, they just, nothing worked. I think you just throw the game out, see what they're like after the bye. Still trust the talent of Terry McLaurin, but, I mean, Curtis Samuel's been the number one guy in this offense 2 weeks in a row.
He really has. Terry McLaurin is a wide receiver 3 until further notice, unfortunately. And, you know, kind of borderline wide receiver 3-4. Bad day at the offense, but again, the production hasn't been there for McLaurin recently under Bienem. And it's just like, dude, get the ball to your best players. How many times are we going to say it? Get the ball to Josie. You know, like, it's not hard.
Josie reference, Brian Rubin reference.
If I can do it,
my
12 and under girls basketball team.
We're playing all the hits.
Everyone
all the characters.
Else can do it at a higher level.
Our next game, the Lions at New Orleans. The Lions had a commanding lead early in this game and then kind of started to fall apart, but they end up pulling out the win on the back of Sam Laporta, who caught all 9 of his targets for 140 yards and a touchdown. Guys, I said on this show a lot last year in the offseason, this rookie tight end class will really help reset a barren wasteland.
Yeah.
I did not expect this from Sam Laporta this year. It's just remarkable what he's doing in Ben Johnson's offense.
36% target share in week 13. He now has at least 4 receptions in 10 of 12 games so far this year. He's on pace for 90 receptions, almost 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I mean, it's unbelievable what Laporta has done as well. We said quite a while ago that he is going to be the that he was kind of locked in as a top 5 tight end. And depending on how Kelce and Andrews is out for the year, and we'll see how Kelce ends the season. But like, Hockenson's right there. Like, Laporta's a top 4 guy-ish. I mean,
I think he's number 1.
Right.
That's where I was going. There's an argument to be made that next year Laporta should be the number 1 tight end in fantasy.
Yep. No, he was.
I don't know if I'm there just yet, but there's an argument to be made as well. We got a number of questions yesterday in Fantasy Football Pregame about should you use Sam Laporta as a flex? And in some cases we were like, yes. In some cases we were like, I don't know. You know, I'm nervous about using a tight end in a flex. I do think he has the best shot at a touchdown. I would be lying if I said I expected almost 30 fantasy points from Laporta yesterday. Like, you know, just a monster game for him, what he's doing in Ben Johnson's offense. And it is because of the success of Laporta is one of the reasons why the running backs didn't have monster games in a game that they put up over 30 points and, you know, kind of move the ball at will.
Jay, for the Saints side of things, the Alvin Kamara scheme, as we like to call it, in full effect with the 6 catches, 58 yards, but also helps that he ran for 2 touchdowns in this game as well.
Yeah, I think the takeaway, this Detroit Lions defense is terrible.
It's
like
awful,
it is,
man.
It might be a bottom 4 unit in the entire NFL. They just have no prayer. And Chris Olave, he goes off as well. Kamara gets the work done. He gets the 2 touchdowns, does his Ponzi scheme thing of getting the 6 receptions, though these were actually valuable. I think the story is that Derek Carr goes out, Jameis comes in, doesn't look great. But for me, the big takeaway is that, like, you start everyone against Detroit because they have no prayer at the moment stopping people, particularly through the air.
They play the Bears next week. They're on the road at the Bears, the Lions are, and then home to Denver at Minnesota. To your point about Kamara, I think one thing that was encouraging, in addition to just score to the dump offs, and he had 4 goal-to-goal rushes.
Yeah.
Right? They're using him in close. That is as many as he's had in the previous 4 games combined. You know, they get cute with Taysom Hill and they do some other stuff
13
around
carries.
The goal line. But, you know, huge game for Kamara, who heads into Monday Night Football as the number 1 running back in fantasy. You mentioned Olave, now back-to-back games with over 110 yards receiving. He's had 4 more deep targets, 2 of the last 3. Derek Carr, we're going to talk about that injury in a little bit, but if Jameis is going to start for any extended period of time for the Saints, this is good news for Chris Olave. And Taysom Hill continues to be, like, it's not a traditional tight end, but he's a tight end for fantasy and continues to put up tight end 1 numbers.
And he's a tight end 5 going into Monday.
That's what I'm
night
saying.
Football.
Like, I mean, you
right,
know, he's a top 10 tight end.
No matter how you slice it, yeah. He's a top 10 tight end.
Double-digit touches, 3 of the last 4.
Our final game, the Texans hold on against the Broncos, 2 teams that have been hot for a long time right now. And with the Texans, their wide receivers were healthy going into this game. Brutal, brutal Tank Dell injury we'll get to in a second. But Nico Collins is the beneficiary of the C.J. Stroud passing attack. Catches 9 passes for 191 yards and a touchdown, Jay. This version of Nico Collins with Stroud playing quarterback, I mean, he comes into Monday Night Football as wide receiver 3 right now.
I mean, he's a monster. He may well be a top 10 wide receiver the rest of the way, given that Tank Dell is unfortunately expected to go on injured reserve.
Will.
Yeah. Nico Collins is he is a monster, and with Stroud playing the way that he is, he has a very high floor and a very high ceiling. And I don't think he's going to go for 191 yards every week, but he is an absolute monster, Matthew.
The schedule gets a little tougher. They're at the Jets this week, and then at Tennessee, home to Cleveland, and then home to Tennessee, but 46% target share for Nico Collins. Third straight game with at least 7 receptions on the season. He's the 9th best wide receiver in fantasy football. So he's already on the season. He's a top 10 wide receiver. And my expectation is that's only going to continue to go up after the injury to Tank Dell, which is just sucks, man. Like, yeah. I mean, Tank Dell is my guy. Obviously, hey, Tank Dell drinks free today. Honestly, Tank Dell drinks free any single day he walks into the happy hour bar. We love Tank Dell. I am incredibly bummed about this, as was C.J. Stroud after the game, just talking about, you know, how hurt he was. And just, you know, I mean, I think this quote from Stroud was, you know, I'm hurt. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. We're all hurt. 17 leagues, I've Tank Dell like in 14 of them. Yeah. Like, so this is a huge loss for me. Not to make it about me, but, you know, that's kind of my superpower, is that I can make whatever it is about me. It's kind of the one few chance I have. Yeah, it just sucks. But what I would think is, here's the other thing that's interesting about this game. Tank Dell goes out. On a weird play, why is he in on a goal line rush? That's the thing. I'm going to go onto a rant.
It's like 165 pounds.
On a soaking wet. Yeah.
Yes. He should not. Stupid. But whatever. Horrible for Tank Dell. Get back soon. Get well soon. We're rooting for you, Tank. We all love you here. As it relates to the Texans, the only people that caught more than one pass in this game were Nico Collins and Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they get Noah Brown, get him going again, and
John Mechie.
I think it's going to – I think Dalton Schultz, and maybe what they do is they just start leaning on the run game even more. Damian Pierce has himself a nice game, plays almost 40% of the snaps, which was up from 19% last week, 38% exactly. But all three snaps inside the 5-yard line went to Damian Pierce. It's his most carries in a game since week 5. You see it there on your screen. Like, not huge game. You know, 15 for 41, but he scores the touchdown, just 10 fantasy points, but certainly better than what Singletary did. Motor did not have himself a day. Just one catch for 4 yards, because they were just, I mean, it felt like the Broncos were basically, we're weird, but we're going to dare you to throw. Because they were just, I mean, the Texans weren't able to run the ball, which we thought they would be able to against Denver, and they just passed all over them.
Yeah. It was a very strange game overall. Never really found its rhythm. Russ, who's avoided picks all season, throws three of them in, I think, 3 and 4 drives as well. So a bit of a strange game overall. Just lastly on this, Connor, do you think Nico Collins can be a number one wide receiver with the additional attention?
I do. He's big. He's physical. Stroud is a guy that constantly gives his players a chance to go up and get the ball. I think he's been a more precise route runner this year. The rapport is evident. I mean, Nico Collins, people are holding on to where he was drafted and how he's perceived when they had nothing at quarterback. And now that they have a highly functioning offense under Bobby Slowik, Nico Collins is a guy that can handle that workload as a top wide receiver. It's been awesome to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, the Texans, that's a really bright future.
Yes.
It's a really bright. I mean, when you think about Stroud, Dell, and Collins, you know, like, you know, whatever with the running backs.
And the offensive line.
Offensive line, exactly. And,
Two best stories in the NFL this year, both in the AFC South for mine, Texans and Colts. The fact that these two teams are 7-5 and are probably both going to make the playoffs is insane.
Yeah, really, really fun. I don't know that there's much to take away other than, the confidence we had in Devin Singletary, I think, has to dissipate a little bit. I think we're back to a timeshare with these two guys on the road at the Jets next week. They're both going to be, you know, flex plays, basically. Touchdown-dependent flex plays.
Before we go to break, let's look at some injuries we are tracking. These are the notable Week 13 injuries, of course.
It was a brutal week, dude.
Derek Carr with the classic 3 different injuries on the graphic. Not what you want to see. Head, shoulder, back. Kenny Pickett with a pretty serious ankle injury. He is not expected to play Thursday night football.
He's going to miss a couple of weeks, Kenny Pickett is.
Derek Henry in concussion protocol. Ramondre Stevenson with a pretty significant ankle injury. Brian Robinson with the hamstring. Of course, Tank Dell's out for the year with the fractured fibula. Hollywood Brown with the heel injury. Christian Watson, who, when he plays, is effective, but this is the story. Constantly banged up. Mark Cooper has concussion. Tyler Higbee with a head injury right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about a lot of these tomorrow when we get into the waiver wire show and sort of the replacements and as the week goes on as well. But Pickett's going to be out for a while. Stevenson, that's the Thursday night game, Steelers and Patriots, so unlikely to see Stevenson as well. Ezekiel Elliott could get the run. We'll see about Henry, but Tajay Spears would be the guy if they can't go.
Brian Robinson, I mean, that was a weird one, but he just all of a sudden left. So now you're looking at some Antonio Gibson and Chris Rodriguez. They're on a bye this week again, so maybe there's time to heal for B-Rob. And Amari Cooper, that one was a tough one.
I have to say, with the Kenny Pickett injury, it looks like so he might miss 2 to 3 weeks is the expectation. The total on Thursday Night Football, Patriots-Steelers, is 31. That's insane.
It's lower than Jets-Falcons.
And by the way...
Sorry, no, it's 30 and a half. It's 30 and
it's
a half.
Downward.
And it was Jets-Falcons 34.
I think it opened at 32 and it opened at 32 and a half. It's at 30 now.
Yeah.
And I'll say this.
You like the under?
Give me the under,
They played it. So the Patriots just had a 6-0 game where they scored 0 points by success rate, one way to measure offense. It wasn't one of their 5 worst performances of the season. You know how insane that is? They scored 0 points and it's not one of your 5 worst because they've been shut out earlier by the Saints. They've done nothing for so long. Yeah, it's going to be a barn burner.
Right. And I mean, like, so right. I mean, like, the Patriots have a functional defense. And the Steelers have a good defense. We'll talk about James Conner in a second, but like ultimately, like for the most part, the Steelers have played pretty good defense, and the Patriots have played decent defense. I mean, again, they held the Chargers to 6 points, right? But now you've got two offenses that just can't move the ball. Mitch Trubisky versus Bailey Zappe.
Showdown.
There you go.
Literally feels like Iowa Northwestern on Thursday Night Football. We are all praying for Al Michaels through game.
And people ask me, why should I bet on sports? Why should I play fantasy football? And I'll tell you why. Steelers-Patriots, Thursday night, because you know you're watching. Give yourself something to root for.
Weekend Warriors and Sunday Scaries when we return in just a moment.
Thank you, betting.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Get your weekday started with Bet the Edge. Join Jay and Drew Dinzik as they tackle the biggest games from every angle in the NFL, NBA, and more. So whether you're targeting spreads and totals, looking for value in futures markets, or circling player props, Jay and Drew have you covered with new episodes every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Is there any truth to the rumor, Connor? I don't listen to Bet the Edge, but I know you do every single day.
I drive in.
I'm just curious, is there any truth to the rumor that really all it is, the entire show is nothing but them just tailing out the picks that I give out on Sunday Night Football?
I thought you were going to go a different direction up, just as a Brock Purdy hour.
Be it as well. Anyway, just I've been given updated stats. Apparently, when I was touting myself earlier, apparently I gave incorrect stats. I was using the old stats. I wasn't counting the ones after now that the Jordan Love one cashed. So for Barry's bet, for my best bet, I am 10-3 on the season. I'm 7-1 over the last 8. I'm 9-2 over the last 11. But I'm 10-3 for the season.
You don't even know how to properly hype yourself.
Yeah, I know. I shortchanged myself a win because I was using the numbers that were in my mind from before the Jordan Love one cash.
I feel like the pickup line segment we do on Friday.
Really good.
I feel like it's batting at like 85%.
Yeah,
and 100%. We should actually tally that up. Timmy Boyle
it
goes.
It is odd we have not tracked it ourselves.
We should track it. Yes. It's a really good promotional.
We should.
Vehicle.
And by we, I mean Penn State Blake.
Yes.
Listen, Penn State Blake, it's not like you have to worry about a bowl game, you know, that's any good this year for Penn State Blake.
Peach Bowl.
Yes, the illustrious Peach Bowl. All right, Weekend Warriors.
Excited to see you wear a Peach Bowl sweatshirt one day.
Let's start with Derrick Henry. 21 carries, 102 yards, two touchdowns. Jay also caught a pass for 18 yards.
Because you know there are people out there that do wear the Peach Bowl sweatshirt.
How's your voice going, Matthew? Yeah. Not great. Look, Derrick Henry, he was great while he was out there. And then he gets knocked out with the concussion. Got absolutely rocked on a hit, Derrick Henry. So he's in concussion protocol. So we'll see if he is right. They've got an extra day for the Monday night game against Miami. It was just good to see him back looking like Derrick Henry, admittedly against an Indianapolis team that is just terrible against the run at the moment.
I don't think there's really that many surprising names on this list. Like, you didn't expect Achan to be that high, you know. We thought, obviously, you're going to have McCaffrey there. We thought Kyron Williams would get a lot of run.
Chuba Hubbard's a bit surprised.
Yeah, that one.
That's the one. That's where I was going. The one surprise to me that's out there is Chuba Hubbard, running back 5. Again, that stupid game where where Christian Watt, the team that's like the crappiest, like that, and got 37 from DK Metcalf, also has stupid Chuba Hubbard. Like, it's like every crappy guy all year long, they all go off against me. It's outrageous. It's not fair. I'm a bitter berry. I'm very upset. One of these days, mark my words, one of these days, something is going to go right for me in fantasy football.
Yeah, something will go right. Yeah. One of these days, you'll finally get your break.
One of these days, I'm going to get a break in fantasy football. Yeah. You'll see.
Chuba Hubbard was James Conner, 25 carries, 105 yards, and two touchdowns. Yeah. I mean, him and Trey McBride, just a monster day for Arizona.
I did not see this coming at all. James Conner was on my hate list. I talked about the fact that, listen, he's going to get a lot of work. You still probably got to start him as well. I think I gave him just two beers on beer goggles on Sunday morning. I said, on Keep It Open, Close It Out last week, I said keep it open on James Conner, but I'm lowering expectations. Well, that was wrong. He looked great, honestly. This was a weird one for me, but 25 touches, 4 goal-to-goal carries. He had 4 total in the previous 3 games. All the concerns that we had in terms of volume and especially in close weren't there. They ran the ball effectively on the road at Pittsburgh. Great day at the office for the Cardinals offense overall.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And the Steelers are just good for one of these games once a month, basically, where they just completely roll over. Just the day from hell for them with Kenny Pickett going down, TJ Watt gets hurt as well. We'll see what his status is before Thursday night.
Yeah, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown in this game, by the way, came in limited. He gets 0 fantasy points. He's out there, maybe just moves a decoy, but they're running the ball effectively. Maybe it worked out. Arizona's on a bye this week, so hopefully Hollywood gets healthy. We figured out. So there's not much to talk about with James Conner, other than really good day at the office for him. And how about Trey McBride, who, if it wasn't for Sam Laporta, would be the number one tight end in fantasy as we enter Monday Night Football. He's now had 7 receptions in every game but one since Kyler Murray returned. He's tight end 4 on a points per game basis since he became the starter in Week 8.
And you can see why they were like, hey, Zach Ertz, go catch on with a contender.
Knock yourself out.
We're going to see what we have with our year 2 player, Trey McBride. Great for him. I mean, weekend warrior, but career warrior, Mike Evans, Jay. This is 10 NFL seasons, all 1,000 yards in every single one. This weekend, 7 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown.
Wide receiver 7 on the season. Baker Mayfield seems to have a real connection with him. And now they go on the road to Atlanta. But A.J. Terrell got knocked out of the Jets game really early. And his replacements, there's not a lot on the outside for Atlanta. It's kind of like Jeffrey Okuda.
Clark Phillips III.
He played well,
but he's 5'9".
Yeah, so he can't play on Mike Evans. Okay, so I think Mike Evans might have a big day against the Atlanta Falcons.
He's been unbelievable this entire year. He's been one of the best draft day bargains as well. Other side of that ball, we mentioned briefly, Chuba Hubbard. I think the significant here, like the 2 touchdowns were crazy, but he's now got back-to-back games with 20 more fantasy points. To your point, this was a game that the Carolina Panthers actually looked good offensively. No, they didn't win, but they had a chance to win. And it was the first game without Frank Reich as the head coach. And the fact that Chuba Hubbard went back to being a bell cow running back, even though Sanders is healthy and on the team, sort of tells you, again, Deuce Staley no longer there. So I think without Deuce and Frank Reich, 2 former Philadelphia guys that may have had a fondness for Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard is a top 20 running back, I believe, the rest of the way. They're at the Saints this week, and then they've got the Falcons, Packers, and Jags the next 4. So nice game for Chuba.
Yeah.
It's a disappointing November for Puka Nacua, but he starts off December right, Jay. 4 catches over 100 yards and a touchdown. He also had 34 rushing yards in this game.
I think the story was that he got injured, and it looks like he was done for the season. Like, the way he's walking to the locker room. He's fractured his shoulder. He's done. We won't see him again until 2024. And he just comes out and he's breaking 30-yard runs there on the outside. So, look, the talent has always been there. He didn't have an amazing amount of targets. His cup is there, and cup looked a bit more explosive and better, but he did have that 70-yard touchdown.
Had some big plays, and they were taking more shots to him downfield, which was sort of interesting as well. They play Baltimore next week, which is tough, but he's had at least 7 targets in every game since Cooper Kupp returned. So, again, you're getting 7 targets from Matthew Stafford in an above-average offense. That's a good day at the office here for Puka Nacua. Most fantasy points in a game since week four.
Yep.
So
nailed him.
Yes. I enjoyed playing against him as well in a couple of weeks. Like, he's been bad for... I had a bad day at the office, like, yesterday.
Your bets won.
My bets won. Yeah. My bets won, and I got to spend time with you two. You know, so there you go.
I like that.
There
nice.
You go. That's
sweet.
Nice.
That's sweet.
Wow, what I would have
surprising. Surprising comment.
Yes.
I liked it.
All right. It was plus 800. Sunday Scaries headlined by Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler, because yes, the Chargers win 6-0, but six nothing in an NFL game.
It's a tennis score.
Yeah. Eckler to me is the big story. It's his third straight game with singles into fantasy points. He's been under 70 total yards in four of the past five. He's averaging under 5 yards per carry, which is the lowest in his career. Like, they're home to Denver at Vegas. I think you probably still have to keep rolling him out there, but this is bad, guys. It just I feel like he's playing through an injury.
Yeah,
he's clearly not 100%.
No, he's 50% of what he normally is.
Yeah.
Breece Hall, who's also might be playing through a bit of an injury, was on the injury report, but there's no space for him. There's nowhere to go in this offense because they're just stacking the box and daring Trevor Siemian and Tim Boyle. It doesn't matter who's there.
Doesn't matter, yeah. Hips at or before the line of scrimmage every play.
Super weird, though. I thought Dalvin Cook looked like the better running back yesterday.
Oh, he had the fumble.
And then he had the fumble.
I understand. But
it's
true.
That's been the story for Dalvin Cook. He did look better, and then he fumbles. Very frustrating for all of the Jets on offense.
Last one on the list, Zach Moss. He goes 19 for 51, 2 catches for 6 yards. Look, Tennessee have a tough run defense. I thought Zach Moss actually looked good.
I
thought he was running well, so I wouldn't read too much into this. Just a tough day against a tough run defense.
Yeah, and Herbert still is still a QB1, but, I mean, he's a lower-end QB1 as well. I mean, they just don't have a lot of pieces on offense for the Chargers.
They need Josh Palmer.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're missing
he's
Josh
similar,
Palmer.
You know what? He's similar to Mahomes, which is like, you're most likely start him, but it's no longer a no-brainer. I don't care who else they have or who they're playing. Like, now you sort of got to think about it a little bit with Herbert as well. Tim Boyle gets replaced by Trevor Siemian. I think that was good for the Jets.
Yeah, for three plays.
I don't know if it matters.
Last call when we get back. Best bets, Monday Night Football.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Berry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It is time for Last Call. Let's take a look at the most bet Monday Night Football props on DraftKings. This is what the public likes. Joe Mixon's rushing yards under 49.5. Jamar Chase receiving yards over 54.5. Couple Jacksonville bets here. Trevor Lawrence completions over 20.5, taking a page out of Barry's Sunday Night Playbook for Jordan Love. Evan Ingram receptions over 4.5. Travis Etienne receptions over 2.5. Jay, what do you like tonight? Monday Night Football, Bengals, Jacksonville.
I like Chase over 54.5 receiving yards. That's too low for me. But my best bet, Trevor Lawrence, longest completion over 37.5 yards. He's gone over in four of his last five games. And the Bengals, they give up the most explosive plays in the NFL. Everyone's focusing on Burrow is out. That's obviously the biggest problem. But the other big problem is their defense can't stop anyone, and they give up big chunk plays. Lawrence was throwing more down the field last week in particular.
Matthew, what about you?
Well, so my best bet is honestly, I just like the Bengals plus 10.
I think that's a lot of points.
I get it. It's Jake Browning on the road at Jacksonville, but the Bengals still have, and their defense is banged up. I hear you, but still, they still have Ja'Marr Chase. They're getting T. Higgins back. They have Joe Mixon. I feel like they keep this close. Maybe it's a backdoor cover, but it tends a lot. So give me the Bengals plus 10. I will say this, though. I also like, for Evan Ingram, his line's 47.5, right?
Yeah.
Every single five of the seven tight ends that have seen at least five targets against Cincinnati this year have gotten at least 70 receiving yards. Evan Ingram's had at least five targets in every game this year. And so if you want to take the alt line at 70 receiving yards, it's plus 215 for Evan Ingram. I like the over on 47.5, but I like the alt line at either 60 at plus 140 or 70 at plus 215 on Ingram receiving yards.
I like the under. The point total is set at 40 in this game right now. I know the Bengals have had some moments since losing Joe Burrow. It's not like Jake Browning is a Tim Boyle type of quarterback in any sense, but I just don't see a ton of scoring in this one overall. And I think Jacksonville's defense is pretty underrated. I think they'll be able to play good defense and control the clock. Both teams are going to run the ball a ton tonight.
Yep. On the point about the spread, like if Joe Burrow was playing tonight, I think it would be like Jags minus one. And so you're saying that there's 9 points different from Browning to Burrow? That's a ton of points. Back when Aaron Rodgers was winning MVPs, the drop from him to Jordan Love, before Jordan Love was apparently like the 10th best quarterback in the NFL like he is now, that move was 7 points. So this is a massive move from one to...
Yeah, and like, Jake Browning isn't amazing, but he's competent.
He's capable.
Like, he's capable. Yeah. Like, he's not Tim Boyle, so I really like the Bengals plus 10 here. All right, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Get better, Tank Dell. For Jay and Connor, I'm Matthew Berry. Good luck tonight. I hope your Monday Night Miracles come through. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.